It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. There are days I really do think we need a longer show. 503-7 today is one of those. Not going to happen, but I do think it sometimes. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Thank you for coming along. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. All right, it's 2 o'clock. We got an hour. Jesus, where does the time go? In this hour, it's just all too much. It's all too overwhelming. We will talk to Scott Daly from Film Fever Radio. We'll get these calls. Bottom of the hour, we'll have more from Tim Riley. We got to talk more about the listener party, which is coming up next Thursday. I wanted to read this nail gun story a few more times, and then I wanted to talk about the two. We're on this quest, and by we, I mean I am on this quest to find the worst story ever, the worst, most awful, most cringe-inducing story in the history of all humanity. Now, we thought that we had hit pay dirt last week with that story about the guy in the sewer whose mouth got filled with blood from a medical testing facility next door. I mean, really, where
that
can you...
That was bad.
Oh, but you don't even know this story I have right here. It might be worse. I actually have...
I don't think it could possibly be worse.
Yeah, well...
But you do manage to top yourself from time to time.
I impress myself. Would you like to... Well, okay, I'll get
Should
to that
bring
later.
On
no,
Scott?
I'm gonna put that right there. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from FilmFeverRadio.com. Our good friend Scott Daly. Hello, sir.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
You're looking stylish today.
Well, thank you. You know, it's the work dead.
Yeah.
That's fine.
How was Vegas?
Vegas was fun. It was good times.
So, you and your family there?
The wife, the kids, and I flew to Phoenix a few days earlier because her parents live in a little town called Bouse, about 2 hours northwest of Phoenix. So we spent a couple days in Bouse with her parents. Then her parents took the kids for us, and we drove to Vegas for my conference.
Fantastic.
And we were there for 3 days.
Which
was fantastic. Mandalay Bay.
Oh, really? I didn't say this.
It was very nice.
I'm more of an old Vegas guy myself.
I am too, and there's a very long story about our check-in process, which I will bore
you. Please tell it to me now in excruciating detail.
I would love to.
Don't.
But I do want to say this. I am a proud member of the Bouse VFW.
The Veterans of Foreign Wars?
Yes.
Were you in a foreign war?
No, nor am I a veteran. But my wife's father is
an honorary thing.
My wife's father is the commander of the VFW in Bouse.
What is the commander of the VFW? Get me more beer.
It's the guy
now.
That's exactly right. There's a problem. They call him up. But
you're out of peanuts.
They're part of the VFW. He's the commander. And Bouse is a little town in Arizona. It's like a little speck on the map. 800 people maximum, I think, live there. It's very tiny. And so there's only two bars. One of the bars closes like at 6. The other is the VFW that closes whenever the last guy goes home.
Right.
So they got one of the local kids to come over to their place and watch our kids while the four of us went to have a drink at the VFW. And we're sitting there. There's like, you know, 8 other people in there just drinking and smoking and complaining about everything and, you know,
damn kids in their lawns.
Exactly. And so Jerry's, I'm just fascinated by this place. Just fascinated.
VFW halls are so weird. They're like a window into like 1952.
It's so great. And then I ordered a Jack and Coke. And it's a veterans place, so they give me a lot of Jack and a splash of Coke.
Of course. No, you're older, you need it stronger.
And you pay $3.
Yeah.
You know, it's the best thing ever. And so I'm sitting there just fascinated by it. So I was taking it all in, and Jerry goes, Scott, you want to join the VFW? I look at him, I said, Jerry.
There's going to be a peddling involved.
I said, Jerry, I am neither a veteran or a veteran of a foreign war, so no, I can't do that. He goes, well, you are my son-in-law, and we have a men's auxiliary group. I said, really? He goes, yes. All right, how much is it? $25 a year. Done.
You'll need to put on this black hood.
So I am now a member of the Bouse Post of the VFW, 2357, I believe.
Okay, that really is pretty great.
It is. It's excellent.
Right. Fantastic. All right.
And Jerry I told Jerry if I mentioned it to you on the air, I was going to send him a copy of.
Oh, he's badass.
So he's going to go advertise it.
Do you
down
get like a
Bouse
patch to wear, a shirt or something?
I'm going to get a shirt, and it says VFW right Bouse, and I'm going to get a little membership card. So when I get the card, I'll bring it in and show you.
Right on. Fantastic. Now, I dig places like that. Tim and I were having a whole discussion about this last week about you go to like the Eagles Lodge here that's on Powell and like 50th by Sabalas, or like the Moose Lodges around town, or old Knights of Columbus Hall. Yeah. My dad was a Knight of Columbus, and which is a fraternal men's organization, I guess that's redundant, a men's organization for Catholics.
Right.
And it's just the most fascinating places because they stopped evolving or building new ones or changing the interior or redecorating them in about 1971.
Now what's great is with my VFW card, I can get into any VFW in the country.
Sweet.
great. So great.
Do they really serve cheap stiff drinks?
Yes. My Jack and Coke, Jack Daniels, not well whiskey, Jack Daniels and Coke was very strong and maybe was $3.
Fantastic. Uh-huh. Well, there you go. See, that's going to be all the rage with the kids.
I'm telling you
right now, there'll be a story like in USA Today in like 6 months about how kids are joining the VFW through friends.
So
they can get blitzed.
I have some friends who are members of the Eagles Lodge for that reason.
Really?
On 50th and Hawthorne. Oh, yeah, you can get beer there for 50 cents.
I love that place.
That's so great.
Mm-hmm.
I just go there because they have those, they have like the vinyl sales like on Sundays a lot. Like once a month, I can do a huge record sale there.
Oh, that's with
all vinyl. The last time I went there, I blew like 100, which doesn't sound like a lot, but I mean, it was for like, I went home with like probably 50 records and like a bunch of DVDs, a bunch of bootleg live stuff, and because they'll these record swapping guys will bring in, they'll rent out the whole place, and there'll just be thousands and thousands and thousands of records and DVDs for sale.
You've got to let me know next time that is.
It's badass,
that is so
man.
Great.
It's that the coolest
so
thing, and it's not like I don't mind saying it either, because the more people who go, the more stuff there is to buy, and so the more people go there. But it's everything is like yellowed formica. There's always a mirror behind the bar that has like yellowed Andy Capp cartoons that have been cut out and put up there in 1980.
Yeah.
The tape is all yellow and wrinkly. The cash register has got that weird yellowy plasticky cocoon thing over it that they type through.
And it's all yellow.
It's all yellow. It's got the diamond tufted leatherette bar. You know, and they've all got that one type of glass that's like the weird hourglass shaped beer glass there. That's what they've all got. And as Tim said, just lots of framed old photographs of white guys with crew cuts bowling.
That's exactly
that's it.
Same type of thing in the VFW. W and Baus is just pictures of you know, guys who are from Baus.
Guys who all look like my grandfather with like short sleeves and like a pocket protector.
The best thing about, there's three stools at the actual bar.
Yeah.
They're white, like patent leather stools.
Totally.
On the back, they have backs on them. Spray painted in black on the back. And I don't know if this is for irony or for legal purposes. I don't know what it is, but it's max capacity, 250 pounds.
Fantastic.
It's the best place ever. So,
let's get a couple of these, and then we'll do a thing. Chad, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi there.
Hey, Rick.
Jerem.
Just a couple thoughts on Chevy Chase's show. I hope I'm not beating a dead horse with on this one. But
really, the show was canceled 20 years ago. What are the odds?
Well, I'll tell you, there's two things I remember about it. Number one, it's the only show I've ever watched where it didn't even make it through its first week. He started on Monday, and Thursday was his last night. He wasn't back on Friday night. I totally remember. I saw all four episodes.
I thought he did like 12 episodes.
Oh, no. No.
He did four shows.
Yeah.
And he was not back on Friday night.
Oh, it imploded like so quickly. You blink and you missed it. It was gone. And like Howard gave it, I think, like 6 months. But yeah, it lasted less than a week.
Wow.
Oh, and I could not believe. The second thing I remember was that he was visibly nervous.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, like shaking. You know, and his voice was vibrating. I mean, I felt so bad for the guy. I really did. It was incredible. You know, really the best thing about the show was his backdrop with all the fish tanks and all that.
And how sad that the best thing about the show was really when they canceled it, because then you could unclench your own stomach and quit being nervous for him.
Yeah,
there's nothing worse. Well, now, I don't really follow the Chevy Chase oeuvre the way that some do. Is that when he got off drugs, do you suppose? Because that'll make you nervous if you're used to performing high, and then suddenly you have to not perform high. I wonder if that's when he quit doing coke.
I would think it was probably like a year or two after that, because I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, it was like early 90s, I think, when he did his show somewhere in there.
Because he was hooked on cocaine, and then he was hooked on back medication for a long time, and then he cleaned up. But yeah, if you're used to writing or playing or performing or whatever, drunk or high or stoned, you're going to have a difficulty doing that. But yeah, I remember, I never did see it, but I heard he was just sweaty and twitchy and all kinds of nervous.
Oh, well, hey, you know, you had it right when you said, if you start doing drugs, don't ever stop.
That's the key.
That's the payback at the end there.
You shouldn't do drugs, but if you do, keep doing them, because it's the stopping of the drugs that's bad for you. You're entirely right about that.
Write it all the way to the end.
Thank you, Chad. There you go. Let's get Scott. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hey, Rick.
What's up?
Well, I just bought the first season of Saturday Night Live, and you're wrong. He was on every single episode.
Is that true? He did the full?
That was back when the season was 26 weeks. So that's a minimum of 26 shows. I think he left about halfway through the second season.
I thought he only did, like, maybe I'm wrong, but I thought he did fewer than 20, though.
No, because like I said, I just bought the first season because they finally released it in its unedited form. And he's in every single one. He was the entire news crew.
Well, he created the Weekend Update.
The Weekend Update. He didn't have any co-anchors.
Let me just dump that. All right.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
All right, we'll call that done. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Yeah, that's what screwed his backup. Always trying to look for a more perverse way to say screw.
Especially on the air.
Jeez.
More information on that jumper guy.
Oh, the Empire State Jumper?
So you want to know?
Yes, more than anything.
Well, yeah.
Wait, hold on. Now, what kind of information is this?
Perhaps the body part that was found.
Oh, really? Okay, so if you just joined us, a guy jumped off the Empire State Building earlier today. He was a lawyer, which we feel compelled to say. So this is, you have found information. Oh, and the best part is that nobody called the cops because they saw him jump. They called the cops to report that there were, quote, body parts everywhere.
Yeah.
So this is about the part they found?
Yes.
Well, it's not the head. That's too obvious.
No. Police responded to a Midtown Manhattan landmark market about 2:50 p.m. after a 911 caller reported seeing a leg on 33rd Street. After closing the street between 5th and 6th Avenues, they discovered that the body had landed on a setback on the 30th floor.
Oh!
That means...
does that mean the rest of the body stayed up there and they just found a leg down below? Leg kept going, but the rest of the body stayed 30 floors up?
Oh,
detectives on the street were photographing the leg, which was severed below the knee with the foot still covered in a dark gray sock.
But no shoe. Susan's right. The shoe always vanishes.
Yep.
So he jumped from the 69th floor. He hits the outcropping on the 30th floor. But he doesn't hit, his leg is hanging over the side when he does so, and his leg just keeps going down.
He lost his leg under the knee.
Oh.
Well, what can you do?
I wonder what the velocity of that is.
I wonder why your shoes fly off.
Well, because, and the weird thing is,
that's just
I've known a couple cops who found people that are thrown out of their cars and auto accidents and whatnot, and a lot of times... They find the shoes, and the shoes are still tied.
My shoes are tied pretty tight right now. I would think that they wouldn't.
I'm looking at my shoes right now. That's pretty bizarre. I'm being all morbid. I'm staring at my shoes. It's like I'm stoned. I'm stoned in my dorm room. I'm staring at my shoes.
Something happens to your legs where your feet relax and they just come flipping off.
I mean, yeah, the relax. That's the term for that. The other term is liquefy.
I wonder if you jump in boots if they come off.
I don't know. So maybe we can't experiment somehow to find out. What is that?
Don't even say that.
I'm just kidding. I'm just picturing that whole speech from Stand By Me. The train did knock Ray Brower right out of his kids, just like it had knocked the life out of his body.
That's right. Very good, Rich Travis, by the way.
None of us could move. Somewhere underneath those brushes was the rest of Ray Brower. I'm doing the inner world guy. I'm not really doing the... I can recite whole sections from that film. All right. I never had any friends like the ones I had when I was 12. Jesus. Does anyone? 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. And then there's that... They do that reprise of the Stand By Me where he's all like... You know? Hello, I'm a loser. Let's take this call. Hi, Matt, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hello, Rick.
Hello, Matt.
Oh, no, this is Greg.
Of course.
My wiener actually got me.
Why wouldn't it be Greg when it says Matt, M-A-T-T on the screen? Why would it not be Greg? Fantastic. Wonderful.
Yeah.
I love modern technology. If I mentioned that, things work so much better now than they did back 15 years ago when they merely had to operate correctly.
Yeah. Well, I think that we should apologize to Al Sharpton about the technical difficulties that you're having on the radio station today.
Can I just say this, by the way, about apologizing to Al Sharpton? This is why I love our audience. A, there was some other reason I love you. Oh, because Carol and her hot friend, Carol herself apparently looking like Terry Garr. Mm-hmm. Carol and her hot friend are flying from Tucson. Also, the other day, I made this passing joke about... how they ought to create a website where you can just go and submit an apology to Al Sharpton for, like, anything. Like, you spilled milk somewhere.
I'm sorry, Al.com.
Seriously, like, you scraped the car. Literally, no. I haven't posted the links to them, but I'll do so today. That was on whenever the Imus thing broke, which is, like, Tuesday. Literally, by the end of that day, there were two functional websites up that two separate people in the audience have now created. I don't want to guess at the URLs. I'll get them wrong.
That is a beautiful thing.
Two people actually in the audience have created websites now where you can go and apologize to Al Sharpton for whatever it is you feel you need to apologize.
I know Scar.
Well done.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Well, Rick,
yes.
I wanted to give you something about the rooftops downtown.
Uh-huh.
And I also look up at them as I walk around, and it's not because I've ever considered jumping. I've got too many things to do before I can do that.
Okay.
But there's this other strange, quirky thing that I can't quite explain, and I'm not a crazy person.
You'll be happy to know, by the way, that Scotty, hold on. You'll be happy to know that Scotty has now on the screen changed your name to Greg. So
that is wonderful.
A better late than never kind of a thing. All right, so you look at the tops of buildings. Why?
I think it's the Super Bowls, Rick. You see, I take my kids to this nickel arcade.
Is that what Superman has?
There you go. And we play these games at the nickel arcade where you get these little tickets back and you get to buy this cheesy, just absolute garbage that you wouldn't pay for, and you would be disappointed as a kid if you opened it up on
I know what a Super Bowl is. That's like one of those that they used to call them Indian rubber balls when I was a kid.
I know what you're talking about. I've got several thousand of these now. I collect them, and I can't quite bring myself to explain why. I have no idea. But I know that it's for something diabolical, and it makes me look at the rooftops from time to time and wonder, is that why I saved the Super Bowls? I don't know, Rick, but I'm saving them for something. So watch the rooftops from time to time.
Watch the rooftops from time to time for my Super Bowls.
You never know what it'll be. But
can I just say this?
Wonderfully diabolic.
It's, in some places in the country, those are called, this is true, those are called bouncy balls. And they're just a really tiny, they're about the size of a quarter or a gobstopper. And they bounce disproportionately. Everybody knows what a Super Bowl is. You throw it down and it bounces like a million feet in the air. At Microsoft in the 80s, those were everywhere. Those were a staple at Microsoft. They would be in hallways. They would be taped to the walls. People would go on vacation. They would come back, and their office would be filled floor to ceiling with Super Bowls. So those are a thing that there's some pop culture cachet. It would be wrong for you to do anything diabolical with those, sir.
Well, I'm just going to have to see how the whole thing plays out, because for the moment, all I have is this occasional drive when we're at the Nickel Arcade to spend all of my tickets on them damn Super Bowls. And I got this big drawer, and it's almost full of them now. And again, I just can't make myself choose to buy any of the other crap that they've got there, but it's the Super Bowls, and I enjoy looking at them as I open the drawer to add more to the collection.
I enjoy looking at your collection of balls.
That's right, my collection of very, very bouncy balls.
Super jelly balls.
Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Right.
All right, there you go. Thanks. Appreciate that.
How's your woodcock doing? Oh, my darling little woodcock.
My penguin always faces due south.
You know what just occurred to me right now?
No.
Carl Rove could be listening to us right now.
Hi, Carl Rove. How you doing?
Sexy
bag of suet. It's 503-733-2970. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. What the hell else? Well, other things. Like us at 3, Don and Mike at 7. Don't go anywhere. The Rick Emerson Show. Back after this. Here's Public Enemy.
I'm
nobody's here. Sorry, I swear to God. Here's what we were talking about. I'm trying to hit a post that didn't really work. I swear to God, this is why I was not here when the music came back. There's never going to be that post again. I was in the engineering room with Jeff McGinley, and I swear to God, we were talking about new software that they write for the Commodore 64.
New software?
It's 2007, and we were talking about the fact that you can buy new programs, brand new software that'll only work on the Commodore 64. That's what we were talking about.
As long as it was productive.
Because I'm a nerd. It's a movie about my son, and then I find out that he is a nerd. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, let's pay a final visit to your president, prophet, seer, and revelator.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth,
bam,
this is Tim Riley.
Just
the New York needed a little break away from the Tonkam Ibis as a person jumps off the Empire State Building. Apparently this lawyer, don't ask me how they know what he does for
lawyer,
jumped off the 69th floor. Witnesses called 911 reporting seeing body parts on the street, but it wasn't plural. It was just one part. It was a leg. The rest of the body was found on a ledge somewhere. So that's that.
It was an alleged leg. I'm sorry, that's not even that pun didn't even work.
It was raining men's legs.
See, that's much better. That's totally better.
Meanwhile, a crocodile has snapped off a zoo worker's arm. This happened in Taiwan, not New York.
Have you seen that picture? Of the
leg or the arm?
Of the arm in the alligator's mouth?
No.
It's fantastic.
I'm going to have to go see that
fake,
this weekend.
But it's not.
It's raining legs.
Hallelujah. Like that one? And that's my last one of the week.
It's the rock cast.
Yeah, the last one's the last. Apparently, this is a 440-pound Nile crocodile. Well, that's a big one, isn't it?
Nile the crocodile.
Cheng Po Yu's forearm has been reattached. He was trying to retrieve a tranquilizer dart from the reptile's hide. Why he shot it at it, it's unknown. He was rushed to the hospital, and the zoo worker shot the crocodile with two bullets the American way and killed it.
That's how we solve problems
God
in this
bless
country,
America.
My friend.
Those sticking tranquilizer guns.
Seriously, no. There's no proportional response in this culture. All right.
Well, many of us have been wondering, when we were thinking about what Chevy Chase did 30 years ago, what Julian Lennon has been up to lately. He is the 44-year-old elder son of John Lennon, and he sold a financial stake in his late father's compositions with the Beatles to Prime Wave Music Publishing, a New York concern. The deal was announced today. The terms of the deal aren't disclosed, but he doesn't have to be a success if he doesn't want to be because, apparently this is worth like $50 million.
Yeah, it's the Beatles catalog. I mean, first of all, I can't
believe this picture of Julian Lennon.
He's like 100. I mean, it'll make you feel old. Julian Lennon's like 45 years old. He's almost 50.
He looks much older.
He's Julian Lennon, I believe, is older now than his dad was when he was killed.
Oh.
I don't know that that's true. Lennon was killed in 80, right?
Yeah.
The Beatles, now I don't know. But I think Lennon was born at like 45.
Oh, I thought he's posing with his wife in this picture. This is his mother. They both look about the same age.
Cynthia Lennon?
Yeah.
Well, she was beautiful in her day, though.
Mm-hmm. I thought Michael Jackson owned all the rights to the Beatles.
No, it's a long, tangled... See, and then I was just reading a thing about this the other day, actually. A whole, like, breakdown of who owns what in the Beatles. I didn't know, though, that Julian Lennon had any... I didn't know that Julian Lennon owned anything.
No, poor kid, you need to get something.
I guess, but I mean, it's
not even a Kremlin.
No, but here's the thing. Chris Neven had sent me an email about this, and Chris Neven was, first of all, his first thought was like, well, why would you possibly sell your stake in the Beatles catalog? But he pointed out something that I didn't really think about, and this is a very savvy move. As we know, the Beatles are just these Luddite aging hippies who refuse to face reality. And look, I love the Beatles. But they won't face the realities of the modern world, so they won't sell their crap on iTunes. They won't sell their stuff on iTunes, which is losing money. CD sales are drying up. I mean, that's just a fact. That's a stone-cold fact of life.
You get a box with some singles tied with twine.
Yeah. I mean, who is out there buying new Beatles records on CD? No one.
Not even I.
They haven't even remastered the collections out right now.
That's the point.
That's what's been out there 15 years.
So it's like, I might as well listen to my Beatles vinyl or get it online. So no one's buying the Beatles CDs. There's no Beatles iTunes to buy. That revenue stream is going away, and it's not going to get better anytime soon. Julian Lennon is cashing in right now while that collection is still worth something. Mm-hmm. He is cashing out while the Beatles collection can still get him some money, because it's sad to say that's going to be a decreasing revenue stream in the future.
Might have money to buy a condo in the valley, I suppose.
I suppose. All right.
Dancer-singer Willa Ford has signed to star as Anna Nicole Smith in the indie biopic that'll begin shooting next week.
Already? Willa Ford. Boy, I thought we were rid of her.
The name of this film is Anna Nicole.
How do you suppose they came up with the name?
Ooh.
They'll cover her life from 17 until her death, including her success as a Playboy centerfold. Yes, model and actress, her marriage to billionaire oil tycoon J. Howard Marshall II, the death of her son, and her own death 5 months later.
Now, to be
that'll
fair, be you know that we'll all watch it. I don't think she was taking up.
Who is Willa Ford?
Willa Ford. I Wanna Be Bad. Remember that song?
No.
Like 5 years ago?
Mm-mm.
Is she
an actress and a singer?
No, she's a...
She has high cheekbones.
That's it, really. She dated, one of the Backstreet Boys for like a day. She was about a year too late to be Jessica Simpson. Remember, you know, there was that whole era that Jessica Simpson, Mandy Moore, Britney Spears. Willa Ford was like one. She was like about 6 months too late to cash in on that. She is the O-town. She's the O-town to you know, to whatever to. You know what I'm talking about. She's like a third tier Britney Spears. Like wait, like if Britney Spears was the gold standard, then below her was Jessica Simpson. Then below her was Mandy Moore. Willa Ford was below Mandy Moore, and her one single was called "I Want to Be Bad."
I want to be bad.
It's a terrible song.
That's awful.
And her whole thing was trying to position herself as like she was trying to do the Justin Timberlake thing of positioning herself as the edgy sort of sexy one. And her whole thing was to be really overtly sexual. Like she tried to call her second album like porn poetry or some crap. It was terrible. It's the
That's
worst.
So sad.
It's awful. And you read these interviews, and she so badly tries to push this bad girl persona. She really, really. There is nothing worse than someone who desperately is trying to look dangerous and edgy and like hated on, and just is clearly none of
hated
those things.
On.
Well, you know that was like Fred.
Pat Boone tried to do it a few years ago, and he did heavy metal,
and they never forgave him for that. Well, you know that's like that was Fred Durst's whole thing. Fred Durst, as opposed to Eminem or somebody who literally really was the object of a lot of ire. I remember Fred Durst. That was his whole thing. Was trying to market himself as like America's. Everybody hated him, and he was like, you know, haters always hated him, and it's like, and it was just like a. Well, yeah, he was totally being a tool, and it was just a stupid persona he was trying to put forward. That was Willa Ford's thing. It doesn't matter, though, because we'll all watch that movie. You know we will. It's made for TV, Anna Nicole Smith.
Wow, she's
movie.
Pretty slutty.
I was going to ask, is it a made-for-TV film?
Oh, what,
like Oxygen
be.
Or
it's
E
gotta,
or
like,
something?
Like, I got theaters yeah. going to play that crap.
That's cool. Wait, straight
what,
DVD.
What planet are you on? What Regal Cinema is going to play the Anna Nicole Smith
that,
story?
What, straight to DVD?
Well, okay, there's it might that. Be straight to DVD, but it ain't going to win no theatrical release.
Oh, that only happens if the film's on my next screen.
Yeah. Zing! Ladies and gentlemen, he's Tim Riley. He's the world's greatest Woo! Newsman. Thank you, sir. God bless you.
Oh,
Tim
but
Riley.
This isn't the end. Not by any means.
You forgot him on Lycus. Oh, well, no, I mean, no, we're not saying goodbye. We're just saying that...
Farewell.
We're just congratulating you on just another stellar news break you just did.
Why, thank you, and there are more coming. As a matter of fact, 1, 2, 3, 4 more this afternoon.
Here, Tim Riley, at the top of the 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and 7 o'clock hours.
On your way to see Color Rogue tonight. And Embassy Suites in Beaverton. Make sure you're listening.
Exactly. Tim Riley, he'll be at 4, 5, 6, and 7 o'clock tonight.
I'm raring to go.
You sound raring.
He's out the door right now.
Yes,
oh, Carl, here comes Tim.
Yeah, Willa Ford is a... She's full
I'm looking
funny.
At
That's
pictures of her. She's all greasy and...
I forget who she was getting on with.
She does look a lot like Anna Nicole Smith, though. I can
yeah,
see that.
She was kind of stooping somebody, and I think it was the Backstreet Boys, somebody she was touring with. She tried... The thing about Willa Ford is, and why do I know all of this? They tried to market her as being really white bread and pure and blah, 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 and that didn't work, and so suddenly it was like, I'm Willa Ford. I'm a sex bot, you know, or whatever. And you can always tell women who are faking the sluttiness. That's the thing. Like, and maybe that's just, I think most guys can. I don't think that's just me. You can always tell a girl who's really honestly a slut. I mean, like a girl who's really honestly trashy, you can smell that a mile away. You can see that on them. You can tell a girl. There are a lot of girls, and I think this is a pretty recent phenomenon. And maybe it's brought on by... What we're now required to call a general coarsening of the culture, or maybe it's MTV or it's whatever. But there are a lot of girls who have a sort of hypersexualized image that they put forth, or the way they dress, the way they whatever. But so often you can tell that's just like it's just another way to be like it's another princess pose. It's another way to get people to you know it's another way to get people to pay attention to you. Real sluts don't have to work at it. She really works at it way too much.
It just comes natural.
That's what I'm saying. All right. 503-733-2970. What is that, Scotty? This is... Well, okay, I'm supposed to... Oh, is this Willa, a Willa Ford call, inexplicably? Hello, sir.
Hello.
Hi.
So I wanted to start off by saying, I met you at the Andrew WK listener, like talking party.
You were standing me right next to Joni and I as I was getting my picture taken with Andrew, a picture I then later accidentally deleted.
And I do have to apologize. I felt like such a tool, like... tapping you on the shoulder.
Yes,
like,
how
oh,
dare
hey.
You speak to me in public? Don't you know you're supposed to look at the floor and call me
well,
sir?
One of those things where I was like, well, I'm sure you're really enjoying this. Hello. I just said you don't have anything to say.
No, I'm not the Pope. You're allowed to, it's not like you have to ask permission to tie. I'm just a tool. You just, no, it's cool. I just felt bad that I got my picture taken with Andrew WK, and then I was like, let me forward this to myself by hitting the delete button. I don't know what's going on in my head. I deleted the whole thing. It was just ridiculous. So, no, it's totally cool. You're this guy Peter, he has a tattoo on his arm of Perry Mason, or Raymond Burr as Perry Mason.
That's fantastic.
The baddest-ass thing ever. Yeah, it's cool. It's really cool. So,
yeah. I'm actually going in next Friday to finish up my Bob Barker tattoo before before we go down to see him at the Price is Right.
Fantastic. Oh,
that's so great.
I'm working on a whole sleeve of geriatric television. But the reason I called about Willa Ford is... The music network Fuse,
yes,
has a show called, and I'm not kidding, Pants Off, Dance Off.
Okay.
Where the theme of the show, it, much like MTV's like Undressed series,
yeah,
is where people strip to music videos.
Really?
And Willa Ford is the host of the show.
Oh, that's pretty hot.
Yeah.
Now, when you say that it's people stripping to music videos, is this like people sending in their own YouTube type things, or is it people there in the studio stripping?
No, there's people there in the studio, and they play the song, and they stand in front of this like
kind of like American Bandstand type style.
No. Think about like when you put on your Windows Media Player and you have like the ambient orbs going behind you. It's more psychedelic colors of that, and they have like Abercrombie guys and girls. Who sit down to their underwear and dance to the latest rock tracks.
Well, that sounds kind of... I mean, I like the theory, but I think it'd be... I think I would find it more interesting. I think it'd be hotter if it was just like... Just random, like random just chicks at home filming themselves with like a handy cam and then sending that in. I think that'd be hotter.
I don't know. It's one of those things where I just laugh every time I see a commercial for it because it reminds me so much of like the whole... Like this generation's like... weird, like, it's sexy, but it's not.
Yeah, totally.
But you kind of know what everyone's doing while they're watching it.
I don't know. Thank you. Okay, that was one step too far, sir. Thank you, Peter.
Yeah, bye.
All right, there you go. Yeah. All right, thanks.
Sure,
thanks.
That call quickly.
Thanks so much for that. Peter.
I barely knew her.
All right. 503-733-2970.
That should get old, but it really doesn't.
It really doesn't. No, it never does. It's never going to get old. It's 503-733-2970. We're here with Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. Don't forget, we got Lycus coming up at 3, Don and Mike at 7, good friend Dennis Pitzenbarger tomorrow, 9 to 11, and before that we have Car and Driver Radio, which airs tomorrow 6 to 9 a.m. live. We'll take a break. We'll come back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio, a proud member of the CBS Radio family. Stay there.
My radio advised with every one of those late night stations playing songs, bringing tears to my eyes. I was seriously thinking about hiding a receiver when the switch broke because it's old. They're saying things that I can hardly believe. They really think we're getting out of control. Radio is the foundation.
Somebody request this. Apparently we have a listener. I forget his name. Somebody's flying today. Yes. I forget his name. Scotty took it off the screen.
Someone lays a sheet across my chest.
Benjamin in the mighty Southeast. Thank you. Who requests this?
Something warm is flowing down my fingers.
I hate the song.
Yeah.
Pain is flowing.
I'm going to skip ahead to the good part.
What's the good part? Freak.
You know what I'm talking about.
Teach me how to die.
The streets are red and moist where I'm lying.
I love this song. It's pretty good.
God in heaven, teach me how to die.
Fantastic. Hi there. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Does this sound kind of like Pink Floyd? This okay? Wait, hold on. Okay,
no.
Think about this. Think about
something. You have to keep playing.
Okay, but I will. But think about this. This just hit me. As I'm playing this, think And if the band you're in starts playing different
songs, Dark Side of the Moon?
I'll see you on the Dark Side of the Moon.
It's my favorite song ever.
This totally sounds like Eclipse from Dark Side of the Moon.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Totally Eclipse. Somebody needs to do a mashup of this and Eclipse. I hate mashups. Shut your mouth.
They're awful. The worst.
Scott, you have a minute. What are you here for?
You didn't review anything. Don't pretend that you did.
I never claimed to review anything today.
So you're basically just here.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I do.
And we're
back. No, I do want to say, we do have a new episode of Film Fever Radio. Finally, we're back after 2-week hiatus. We'll be up this evening around 6-ish. And I do want to mention that in 2 weeks, on May 1st, at Powell's Books in Beaverton, Film Fever Radio will be covering the 30th anniversary Star Wars celebration. They're doing a big thing at the Powell's in Beaverton, and Film Fever Radio has been invited to not only record the show there, but be there and cover it. And Timothy Zahn, the author of all the Star Wars books, will be there, and it'll be a pretty big to-do. So we will be there.
It'll be a to-do.
Great. So, yeah, new episode up to date. And then we're going to record next week's show at Rick Emerson Party Listener. Rick Emerson Listener Party X.
Way to choke at the very guy. Good job.
Don't be a jerk.
All right. So how long until the music starts here?
30 seconds.
All right. It's 503-733.
Go see Grindhouse, you bastards.
Yeah, seriously.
11 million the first time.
It got beat out by a second-rate Ice Cube sequel. What is that? I have time to play this again.
All right. Boys, where are you?
Thanks for coming by, making it part of your listening day. We'll do it all again on Monday, my friends. Rick Emerson Show, produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970, Solid State Radio. In the newsroom, it's Tim Riley, executive... That's a flashing back to a previous version of the credits. I'm sorry. The gatekeeper is Dave Zinn. Our intrepid PA is Scotty J. Blah, blah, blah. It's Friday.
On Hot Talk 1080.
On Hot Talk 1080. Like us is next. Donna Mike at 7. Don't forget, Car and Driver Radio tomorrow, 6 to 9. Dennis Pitzenbacher, 9 to 11. Stephanie Miller, Monday, 6 to 8. Dennis Miller, 8 to 11. We'll see you Monday. Don't forget, Listener Party 10 happens next Thursday. So we'll be listening for more details on that. Scott Daly, FilmFeverRadio.com. We also want to thank Brian Blank, Jim Roop, and Lisa Goddard for joining us. As always, my friends, don't let the bastards grind you down, and please do your very best to help the retarded. Thank you for listening to the Rick Emerson Show. See you Monday. Bye now. But crap.